and welcome to the Digital Resilience Podcast. With so many aspects of our lives now involving using technology in a digital world, supporting our children and young people to be digitally resilient is fundamental. Building a digital resilience in our children and young people also depends on the resilience of our families and communities. Therefore, this podcast aims to provide families, education practitioners, professionals, and governors with the latest resources, information, and guidance to enhance their digital resilience. In this episode, we will be discussing misinformation, and with me today is Guion. Hello, Guion.
Hello, Howell. How are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, very good. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm going to kick us off today, Howell. So let's start by taking a look at the different types of misinformation. We've got a special guest. He's going to tell us a bit more about what misinformation actually is.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen.
That was Mr. Trump telling us a bit more about misinformation. And he was the one that really introduced the notion of fake news into the modern world. But the reality is that fake news has been around for a very long time. The first type of fake news we're going to look at is called misinformation. And this is where people share information, usually over social media or on other spaces on the internet, that isn't accurate, that it hasn't been created to cause harm. It's just wrong information being shared. The second type is called disinformation, and this is quite similar to misinformation, but the main difference is that this actually has been created in order to deceive, mislead, and influence other people. Another type of misinformation is called clickbait, and this is something that's been created to lure you in and hoping that you will click on the link or on the article or on the video. The last type of misinformation is called deepfakes, and this refers to the ability to create videos where people appear to say something, but it's entirely fake.
You are fake news.
There's a famous video of Barack Obama on YouTube. If you type in Barack Obama and deepfake into YouTube, you'll find a clip. It's four different videos where Barack Obama appears to say something, but the reality is all four videos are completely fake.
So I'm just thinking now if I've come across any of this and if it's affected me in any way at all, any of the things that you've been talking about there. I suppose the one that springs out more than anything is the misinformation. I use a lot of Twitter, especially around summertime where the transfer deadline day period is, where all the clubs can buy new players. And then you get a lot of news regarding this player's coming to Liverpool or this player's going to Manchester United. And, you know, the lot of this information here is not legit at all. It's just coming from an account that someone's created and then someone's retweeted it. And then you can see maybe thousands of retweets. So you go by how many times that's been liked or retweeted. It doesn't actually mean it's true. Guion, have you come across this as well?
Yeah, so same as you, Howell, I'm a big football fan, and I tend to follow this sort of transfer speculation on Twitter. It's a combination, isn't it, of misinformation where somebody's actually misunderstood the story or they've reported an incorrect story. But there's also a combination of that and also disinformation where somebody's actually created a story knowing full well that it's no truth in it whatsoever, just to sort of try to influence people and to try and mislead people into thinking. I remember seeing a story once that Lionel Messi was going to sign for my local club, Bangor City, years ago. And people started to get excited, even though they knew it was completely fake. But it's a type of sort of disinformation that does exist out there. But I don't know about you, Hope, but I've come up with a little algorithm for myself. So if I'm going to believe anything that I read on Twitter in terms of transfer speculation, I've got to see it from at least four or five different sources over a period of 4 or 5 days. That's my sort of strategy for checking whether there's any basis to the story or not.
It's not just with football, though. You know, you see this quite often in news articles, and some that have popped up quite recently with COVID. I don't know if you heard about one rumour that was going around, was that 5G signal is the reason that COVID is spreading.
Yeah, obviously we're not here to say whether that's true or not, but it certainly was an example, a well-accepted example of disinformation, obviously trying to lead people to into believing that. Another one, sorry, I tend to laugh when I think about this one, because there was a trend going on, I think it was on TikTok and Instagram, where people who had their vaccine claimed that they turned into a magnet. So they started sticking knives and forks and spoons and all sorts of metal objects to their bodies, claiming that vaccine had actually turned them into a magnet. I don't know if you heard that one. Well,
but yeah.
It had its own hashtag. It was hashtag magnetic challenge. Again, another sort of example of disinformation there. There to mislead people to not have the COVID vaccine, for instance.
Yeah, I saw that because I saw a video of someone posting a spoon balancing on their arm or something, and then she had to go on TikTok again just to say, sorry, I was lying, it's not true, don't believe me, because she realised that people were believing it, and for this exact reason, they weren't having the vaccine at all, isn't it, you know? It's powerful stuff, you know, and I was looking at a stat earlier on, and I think over half of the fake news that you see now is either image or video related.
Well, you've got another fact, haven't you, Hoyle? But
there's quite a few facts here, actually. One other fact is that if fake news is 70% more likely to be retweeted.
Wow.
Because, basically, the story is more eye-opening than the real story, isn't it, really? That's why.
I guess it's quite niche, because any sort of normal mainstream news story will be picked up by the mainstream outputs, such as Sky News, BBC, and so on. So if you can find something that's a bit obscure, goes a bit against the grain, then you're more likely to share that to somebody, I guess. So
you're more likely to share, and you're more likely to have likes and retweets, and that's the world we're living in, isn't it?
It is, and we live in a world where, if you remember our American friend, Mr. Donald Trump, saying, if you shine a bright UV light against your skin, that defeats COVID. And he said this, actually, in a press conference, didn't he? And if you drank disinfectant, that would cure COVID.
Hmm. You know, but...
You are fake news.
Jokes aside,
you are fake news.
Jokes aside, Guion, you know, especially deep fakes, they could lead into a lot of bad things to happen in the world. For example, you know, you could have a deep fake of an American soldier or a British soldier burning the Quran. That could lead into a massive war, really, couldn't it, when you think about it? You could have also other people, for instance, Elon Musk, if you had a deep fake of him saying something that would influence people investing in the stocks and shares. Another one is you could have someone being deep faked and influencing the election. The most shocking one I heard of was that criminals could look into deep fakes to plead their innocence. So basically, creating a video to kind of prove that they weren't in this location.
Yeah, so you're talking there about creating a fake alibi for...
Fake alibi, yes.
Yeah, it's quite scary, isn't it? So it just shows the importance, I think, of opening our people's eyes to the reality of the information they find online. Because not everything they find is fake, but not everything they find is true either. So it's important to develop their critical thinking skills. Obviously, there's a lot of tips for them to follow, such as, obviously, considering the source. What's the source of that information? Let's have a discussion about sources here, because clickbait is something that we all come across. Clickbait is something that tries to get you to click on something. For example, you might get an email from who you think is Amazon, because the title of the email is Amazon UK, the name of the sender is Amazon UK. It might tell you there's been activity on your account and you've lost £256. Click here to resolve the problem. Without thinking twice, some people would click on that link, thinking that they're going to resolve the problem. Next thing, the Amazon asks them, or sorry, fake Amazon asks them to input their login details, log into their account. Without noticing then, what they've done is they've given their username and password over to whoever's created that clickbait in the first instance. Somebody will then have access to their account to be able to use that to make purchases and so on. So, considering the source is vital, because if you looked at the source of that email, it would never come from @amazon.com or @amazon.co.uk. It's usually a fake email account that's been created to look as though it's coming from Amazon. But you've got to be really wary of the sources here. Any email you get that makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, have a look at the source, because that's one big tactic to see who the sender actually is. One I've been getting recently, is a text from the bank, and whoever's is trying to do this sort of clickbait on behalf of the bank has actually worked out that I live in Wales and is using Jones as a surname. So it tells me, obviously Jones is a popular surname in Wales, and it tells me that I've paid 400 and something pounds to a Mr. Jones. Can you click here to approve or disapprove the transaction? So obviously, because there's a name, a Welsh surname there, I'm more inclined then to think, hold on, have I paid anybody with a surname Jones? I'd be more inclined to click in. So that's another example of clickbait. Another top tip, consider the style. So obviously, you've got to consider the way that something's been written. How formal, how informal is it? Is it fact? Is it opinion? Is it clickbait? It's important to think about the style that has been written. Multiple sources. Does it appear in multiple sources? If you found a news story that you don't really know whether it's true or not, try Googling it. Try typing it into a social media platform. If you can find something appearing more than once, there's a bigger likelihood that it's going to be true. It's not always the right answer, though. So checking multiple sources is a way of comparing news stories and checking whether there is any sort of reliability to that story or not. The last one is fact-checking. So you need to check the facts. You need to be able to use multiple sources online to be able to check the facts, such as if you find a news story on Twitter, a big news story saying, for example, there's been a bombing in a certain city. What I would do straight away is I'd go on to a reputable news outlet. So I'd go on to Sky News, I'd go on to BBC News. If it's a real story, it'll usually be captured within one of those reputable news outlets. So we've got good news, haven't we, Hoel?
We have indeed got good news.
So we are the bearers of good news. So the news we've got for you today is there's plenty of resources for free that you can use with your pupils within your schools on Hub. So if you go onto the Hub website, have a look about halfway down the page. There's an article and it's called Stopping the Spread of Misinformation. Best thing about this set of resources is the stuff there for teachers, the stuff there for pupils, secondary and primary. And there's also some stuff for parents. And this is really, really useful for you as a school, because you don't actually have to go to a big effort to create resources to engage with parents. It's already there for you to be able to share digitally with your parents. If you want to learn more about what's on the page on Hub, join us in our webinar in a couple of weeks. So have a look at G6 and on the Gwear website to find the dates for our webinar. During that webinar, we're going to be discussing the best resources. So we're going to be taking a look at everything that's on Hub, and we're going to be telling you what our top picks are. We're going to be giving some tips, such as how do you share that those resources with the parents? What are the do's and don'ts in terms of misinformation? What is the important messages? So if you want to learn about everything there is to do around teaching and learning around misinformation, join us during that webinar. That's it for today, I think, Cole.
That's it. Thank you very much, Gwion.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Trump, for your input.
You are fake news.
Charming.
I will see you all in the next episode. Take care.